What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
I certainly think that we are at war with those who would commit terrorist attacks and who would corrupt the Islamic faith in the way that they do.
We have this idea of what it's like to live out the American dream, and maybe that's not God's dream for humanity.
Without what Jesus did at the cross, you cease to have Christianity. And if we cease to have Christianity, we are lost and damned in our sin.
Luther said, if the Lord had said, I will put forgiveness into this grass or even this dung, I would gladly go eat it. But he hasn't. He has said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood.
While snow blowing our driveways, hardy Minnesotans love to listen to Issues Etc.
We like to spend time with our listeners, especially as often as we can, answering questions, comments, dealing with their show suggestions. We get some really good suggestions from our listeners here on Issues Etc. for future shows. You don't get to hear a lot of them because we'll receive them and then we will turn them into something. And often what you hear on Issues Etc. has come straight from our listeners, a suggestion, an idea, a question, and we say that would make a great show, and the next thing you know, you're hearing about it on Issues Etc. That's kind of the back side of the kind of the back channel way that often we benefit from our listeners here on Issues Etc. Sometimes it's just a question or a show criticism. We have that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We hear from our listeners a lot that way. Also, our Issues Etc. comment line, which we have put up for our beloved on-demand listeners, all our listeners, in fact, to use any time of day or night, 618-223-8382. And we're going to spend the next few minutes of Issues Etc. through this second hour of the program going through your email and some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later, we'll spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute, getting her thoughts on what isn't going to be in Pope Francis's forthcoming encyclical on the environment. A lot of people are waiting for the Pope to say something that will sound crunchy, that will sound environmental. And he may do that, in fact. He may endorse global warming. Who knows? But there are two things that Jennifer Roback Morse is certain he will not do that will disappoint the environmentalists. We'll find out what those are a little later here on the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 13th of January. Now, our call-in number for the next hour for your questions, your comments, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, I mentioned before, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and that comment line for our beloved on-demand listener, 618-223-8382. Let's go to email. What's up first, Jeff? Oh, you know what we need to do? We need to mention who gets that book from yesterday because we were remiss.
The Church Impotent?
The
Feminization of Christianity?
We did open lines on the feminization of the church, and in the course of that, I'll let you find the name after you get through your first email. We need to give that book away because we didn't give it away. We were so busy.
Well, let's do that a little bit later.
Yeah, sure.
Let's begin with Mark. He says, Jesus died for all, but some go to hell forever. Did Jesus die for those?
Well, you've said it yourself. Jesus died for all. The fact that some perish apart from Christ does not mean that Christ's sacrifice is either insufficient for them or wasn't made for them. The way I kind of look at it is a very personal way. I think it's the way that the Christians ought to see this issue. First of all, the Bible is clear and unequivocal. Jesus made his sacrifice for the sins of the world, all of Adam's descendants. Wherever Adam's curse is found, that thus far goes Christ's redemption. So, like the old hymn used to say, far as the curse is found. So if the curse extends to you, he died for you. If you're a sinner, he died for you. Where do we find this teaching? It's so clear, St. Paul says. This is a trustworthy saying, worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came, he died for sinners, and then he says, of whom I am foremost. But when he uses that broad category, sinners, he's including everyone, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Christ, in Paul's mind, he was dying for all. Jesus says that he came to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. God so loved the world. That includes everyone. So Jesus' sacrifice, most clearly in Scripture, extends over all. He died for all. In other words, when he shed his blood, he was paying the penalty in his suffering and death for the sins of everyone. And everyone means everyone. But obviously not all are saved. And it's not because Jesus didn't die for them. Because the Bible also teaches that it is altogether possible, and sadly, it will be, that many will perish apart from Christ. They will perish having heard the message of Christ and rejected it. That is, they want to stand on Judgment Day on their own two feet and take their chances with their own works or their own goodness or their own virtue. Or, sadly, they have never heard of Christ. How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And that's quite clear there in Paul's letter to the Romans, that it is possible that people do not hear, which is why he urges the church to send preachers. So just because not all are saved does not mean that Jesus didn't die for all. I said I look at this in personal terms, and that's what I mean. If Jesus didn't die for all, then I can never really know. If there are some sinners for whom he didn't die, how do I know that I'm not one of them? I'm going to say that again. If there are some sinners for whom Jesus did not die, the kind of classic teaching of the limited atonement, if there are some sinners for whom Jesus did not die, how do I know I'm not one of them? Now, that's kind of the reverse of the classical Calvinist view that there are, in the limited atonement, Jesus died for the elect. And usually the question is posed, well, then how do I know I'm one of them? I think a better way to ask it is, and a more poignant way to ask it is, hey, don't get ahead of yourself. Before you start assuming you're elect, you're telling me, you're trying to tell me that Jesus, there are sinners for whom Jesus didn't die. How do you know you're not among them? You ask the wrong question, you'll always get the wrong answer. So you ask a question based upon the assumption that there are sinners for whom Jesus didn't die. There's no right answer to that question. There are answers, all sorts of answers, like, well, I know I'm not one of them because look at my life, look how much better I am, or I know I'm not one of them, look at my faith, see how earnestly and sincerely I believe. But those are all questions that, those are all answers that direct you away from the death of Jesus for sinners and to yourself. So there's no consolation, there's no certain answer there. So we have a double certainty here. One, quite certain on the basis of Scripture that Jesus died for all sinners. It's actually a triple certainty. Two, the Bible's quite clear that you're one of those sinners. You are, in fact, a sinner. If Jesus died for all sinners, then guess what? It is an inescapable logical conclusion, if that's what you're looking for. And that's often what people who deny the universal atonement are looking for. It's an inescapable logical conclusion that if Jesus died for all sinners and all are sinners and you are among the all, then he died for you. And there is comfort to know that Jesus died for you, whether you like it or not. And I would say, whether you believe it or not, sadly, for those who will reject Christ's sacrifice.
Email from Steve in Eureka, California. This question pertains to the translation of the name Emmanuel. Did I hear one of your guests say recently that the title more accurately means God with you? Let me take this opportunity to thank you for your service. God is with you. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in, California Steve.
I don't recall anyone saying that. I think it was probably a conclusion based upon what the title means. Emmanuel is simply, it's a Hebrew name, but it's also a Hebrew sentence. It's a very simple sentence. It's just three words, God with us. Immanu are the two words, with us, and El is a generic term for God. So you get Immanu, El, Emmanuel, is a simple sentence, God with us, or we would say God is with us. Now, the conclusion that is drawn that you may well have heard from a guest, I don't recall, is that means God's with you. It's the for you of the gospel, or we could say the for us of the gospel. For us, as we say in the creed, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. There it is, right at the very heart of the classical Christian creed, the for you of the gospel stated as a for us. But that's the big thing in Matthew's telling of Jesus' birth. It is the fulfillment of a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. John says that means, and I imagine when John first wrote these words, he does what I do often. When I'm writing things out by hand and something is important, I will write the important word much larger than all the other words around it so as to emphasize it. And I imagine, as I say, I imagine John, when he's first writing those words, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This is to fulfill those passages, and you will call his name. I imagine that he wrote those words, Emmanuel, which means, big capitals, God is with us. Announcing that in Christ, God is with us, that in him, the fullness of the deity dwells bodily, as St. Paul reminds us. So it's a proclamation, not only of the incarnation as bare fact, but also as why he's come. It's coupled together with Jesus' name. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. God is with us. This is what Matthew is shouting in his gospel in the first chapters. God is with us to save us sinners from our sins. God is with us in the person of Christ to save sinners from their sins. Yeah, it's right there. Isn't it beautiful how just the name itself can bring us back to that great comfort that if God is with us, with sinners, he's also with you, a sinner. Oh, by the way, the winner of The Church Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity by Dr. Leon Pottles, Chris in Chicago, send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Lord God, thou hast made me a pastor and teacher in the church. Pastors know they aren't perfect, but they are to be cherished and supported. Learn more at acelc.net and register for our next conference on the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastors aren't perfect, but they are a gift from God. Learn how you can support them at acelc.net.
I will certainly bring it all to destruction.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns. You pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. Churchmusicsolutions.com.
If you call,
I will answer.
If you follow,
I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 13th, leading up to a conversation with Dr. Jennifer Robag Morse on what might, well, what most certainly won't be in Pope Francis' forthcoming encyclical on the environment. We're also going through the Issues Etc. comment line. That's a line that we leave open for our listeners any time of day or night, 24/7. Just call, leave a question, comment, show, suggestion, criticism, whatever you want to say. If you're listening on demand and you heard something that you want explained, that's the place to put it. If you want us to elucidate on something you heard, a little more explanation, also the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Speaking of the comment line, here's a question on emergency baptism.
Hello, my name is Dario. I'm at Fort Riley, Kansas, and my question concerned baptism, emergency baptism. I was listening to one of your replays of the Lord's Supper, and I believe it was Pastor Fisk talking, and one of the questions popped up from a listener was, when is the Lord's Supper the Lord's Supper? Which reminded me of a question I've had for a little bit of time, which is, in case of an emergency and there's no water, how can one perform an emergency baptism if the person who wanted it was asking for it? And would, in this case, saliva be okay? Or, let's say, if the person's bleeding, is his blood okay? I don't know. And much thanks for what you guys do. God bless. Bye.
Thank you very much. That's a good question. I mean, it's a question of what theologians call casuistry. That is, if this is the circumstances, then what? That's kind of the basic form of a casuistic question. If this is the circumstance, then what? And it usually centers around matters of theology. We have a teaching that's in place of what we know baptism is. That is quite clear from Christ himself. And the absolute most elegant explanation of Christ's institution of baptism comes from the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. I'm not just saying that because I'm partial to his teaching, as I am, because it's my confession of faith, but also because you don't get any more simple than Luther saying it's simple water with the word of God, and it is for the forgiveness of sins. That's what it is there for. Jesus has commanded baptism, the 28th chapter of Matthew's gospel, saying, and these are all important things, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Usually read as the Great Commission. It's actually Christ's institution of baptism, first and foremost. And so we have their baptism. Go wash people in the name of the triune God for the forgiveness of their sins. It makes disciples. And Paul will say a lot about baptism. He can't turn around without saying something about baptism, how often he mentions baptism in the New Testament. He views it as the thing that makes a Christian, the thing that clothes you in Christ, buries you in Christ, raises you with Christ, brings washing and regeneration. Jesus in John's third gospel will talk about being born again of water and the Spirit, and it's a being born from above. So Scripture says baptism is this thing, and you're asking a question about what about, you got the word, what if you don't have water? Now, you have gone in your first suggestion to, I think, the most obvious answer, and people will say, yuck. Just remember, it's not the purity of the water or the quality of the water. It's simply the presence of the water that is required by Christ's institution. And it's not the amount, most certainly not the amount of water that is required by Christ's institution. Otherwise, oh my goodness, wouldn't Christ have specified that it has to be a certain amount? Christ never wants to leave his people in question. He never wants to leave us uncertain of something. Something as important as baptism, had he required a certain amount of water, he certainly would have said so. But of course, that also violates the principle of what he instituted. So you say blood? Well, while blood certainly is mostly water, I'm afraid that you're talking about perhaps about battlefield situation. I'm afraid that that might cause confusion, and you never want anything to cause confusion. You said, what about saliva? Good solution. If that's all you've got, then that's all you've got. Because remember, it's not the amount or the quality or even the source of that water that makes a baptism. It is Christ's word with that water that makes the baptism. Christ's word is a certain thing. The water can be a less certain thing. You know, there can be more water or less water, pure water or more dirty water. So the water is always going to be the less certain thing, but it needs to be there. The certain thing that prevails is Christ's word of forgiveness and the name of the triune God that seals that forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. So, yes, if that's the circumstance. Now, that is a rather rare circumstance, but it could happen. And if it does, I bet you there are a lot of chaplains in the military who found themselves in arid, who carry in their on their person enough water to baptize someone just in case. Just in case they carry some water to baptize somebody. And if they don't have that, well, if you don't have water on hand, you have it in your mouth. I think you've come up with a great explanation right there.
Julie writes, what's the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's position on replacement theology?
Okay, replacement theology is a term that is used often by dispensationalists, and it's used to describe people who disagree with them on the issue of the church and the nation state of Israel. I can really think of no one better to get a kind of the horses mouth explanation for replacement theology than the likes of Roxella and Jack Van Impe. Here's, by the way, their explanation of what they mean when they say replacement theology.
Replacement theology there, Jack.
The most damnable doctrine in Christendom today, and I could name the denominations, I'm not going to, but I'm going to in an upcoming video because I'm not going to spare them, have changed the term Israel to the church 2,604 times, and the term Jerusalem to heaven 930 times. This is against the word of God, a manipulation of almost 3,500 texts. And God says, if you subtract from this book or add, I will subtract your names out of the book of life in heaven. That's how dangerous it is in Revelation 22, verses 17 and 18. But Rexella, it's such an idiotic thing that I can't believe that educated ministers can proclaim that Israel is the church and Jerusalem is heaven. Now, let me just show you something. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia marches against Israel, mentioned 18 times. Chapter 38, verses 8, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19. Chapter 39, verses 2, 4, twice and 7, 9, 11, 12. 17, 22, 23, 25, 29. This is Russia marching on the church 18 times. That's ridiculous. Israel has become a nation in our day. Now you got two churches and then Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus comes from heaven to Jerusalem to rule and reign. Yahweh the Father says, I will set my king, Messiah, upon the holy hill of Jerusalem. I don't know if there are any hills in heaven, but there are hills in the city of Jerusalem. I've been there. And then he says in Zechariah 2:10, sing and rejoice, O daughters of Jerusalem, for I will leave Jerusalem to come and dwell among you in Jerusalem. Now, isn't that a great, wise statement? How foolish if you use their interpretation. And then, of course, he sits upon David's throne in Jerusalem, and that's Luke 1, verses 32 and 33. But he has to come from Jerusalem, Matthew 24, 29, to get Jerusalem. You can't twist God's word. You cannot manipulate it. You cannot corrupt it like that. And replacement theology is the most damnable teaching today in four of the major Protestant denominations. And listen, God says, I'll bless them that bless you, Israel, and I'll curse them that curse you. Genesis 12:3. Remember that.
I actually said that to Abraham, not to Israel. But, you know, Jack Van Impe, that was Jack Van Impe, and the sighings and the breathless comments were from his wife or his daughter? I can never tell. And so he's basically saying, look, all of Christendom, he mentions four denominations, really all of Christendom with the exception of dispensational theology, has for two millennia understood that the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament people of God are one. They're one. The Old Testament people of God are not the modern nation state of Israel today. The Old Testament people of God are the church. That's not a replacement. That's a fulfillment. This is what Paul teaches when he says, not all who are descendants of Abraham are descendants of Abraham, but those who are of the faith of Abraham. And he's talking about the church. Notice how he managed to slip Russia in there. It's not in the text. In the same breath, he accuses replacement theologians of changing words in the Bible. He quotes chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse very rapidly. He's really good at it. And then says, that's Russia marching on Israel. Go look up those passages. It doesn't say Russia. Jack stuck it in there. So he's quite guilty of what he accuses so-called replacement theologians of doing. Look, the fact of the matter is, the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament people of God, the believers of the Old Testament, the believers in the New Testament, they're the same church. I would go far beyond even what Jack accuses us of. I would say we don't replace Old Testament Israel with the church. We even say that Old Testament Israel was the church. It was the church in the Old Testament. And there's only one church, Old and New Testament. Now, the real replacement that happens in dispensational theology is not those who make Old Testament Israel into the church. The real replacement that happens in dispensational theology is when they replace Jesus with Israel. Look at their theology and see how often they take what is proper only to say of Christ and they say it of Israel. The center of their theology, not Jesus and his saving work, but the modern nation state of Israel. The organizing principle of their entire dispensational scheme is not the saving work of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, but the nation state of Israel. The real point of what God wants to do in the world is not save all the world through Jesus Christ, but Jesus dying on the cross, it's plan B. He was diverted for a while. Now, here comes the rapture. Get the church out of the way so that God can get back to doing what he wants to do, which is focus on ethnic Israel. I mean, there is a damnable theology at work here, but it's not those who say that Christ fulfills all of Old Testament prophecy, but those who say he doesn't. And that there's prophecy in the Old Testament that needs not that it has left been left unfulfilled by Jesus and needs to be fulfilled by Israel. Judge for yourself, which one puts Christ at the center? A theology that says Jesus, what he did on the cross, was a necessary plan B? Or those who say that what Jesus did on the cross was the whole point? Those who say that the church of the Old Testament and the church of the New Testament are two different things? Or those who say that the church of the Old Testament, believers of the Old Testament, and the church of the New Testament, believers of the New Testament, are one church? When we come back, a few more of your comments via email, maybe a little more issues, etc. comment line on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 13th. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will join us. We'll talk about what the Pope might or might not say when he talks about the environment. Would make me happy when you've gone so far away. Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star,
listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 13th. On this afternoon, we've also published the very latest Issues Etc. journal. In it, part two of my essay on Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, dealing with Lord's House and Lord's Supper. Also a Wittenberg Trail feature from Pastor Eric Rapp. Eric Rapp started out as a listener of the program years and years ago, and I believe when we first met him, he was a Methodist layman. I think we met him in Michigan someplace, if I'm not mistaken. He and his wife, Polly. And he listened to the show. He became a Lutheran. He actually wrote some of the bump music that you hear here on Issues, etc. Both Hey Preacher Man, wrote and performed, and also More Than Enough that we often play when we're talking about Christian vocation. And eventually went to the seminary, became a pastor. He tells his story in the Wittenberg Trail feature about, and that's not his whole story, by the way, his journey from kind of New Age religion, A Course in Miracles kind of stuff, through Methodist pietism, and then to the Lutheran confession, eventually to the Lutheran pastoral office. You can read it for yourself in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a red button on the right-hand side that says subscribe. Click on it, enter your email address, and we'll send you absolutely free the online Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Look for that big red button.
Email from Christine. She listens in Pittsburgh. She said, thank you for your piece on the medical double standard regarding birth control. I don't think this topic is discussed enough, and mainstream doctors think you are crazy if you go against the idea of birth control as a cure-all. For some background, when I was 18, I was put on the pill because of irregular cycles. No additional testing was done at that time. I was married at 22, and at 24, I got off the pill so we could start a family. Not surprisingly, my cycles were still irregular. Almost a year later, I was diagnosed with PCOS and told that it would be difficult to have children, but that PCOS could be treated. We were lucky and able to have two children with the hope of having more in the future. Had I known at 18 that I have PCOS, I would have done things very differently. Many treatments for PCOS are natural and include diet and exercise changes. I could have been putting the work in to treat my PCOS so much earlier in my life. Once my second child was born, I learned how to use the Creighton method of fertility awareness through a Catholic friend of a friend who was an instructor in the Creighton method. I have told my PCP and OBGYN that I am using a fertility awareness method of spacing my children. They both look at me like I am a simpleton and I don't know anything about how the human body works. Then they write in my charts that I am using the rhythm method. At all of my appointments, I am asked if I could be pregnant. When I answer no, they ask how I could possibly know that. It is very frustrating to be treated like I am stupid simply because I don't believe in the use of birth control. It is refreshing to hear this topic discussed, and I would love to hear more on this topic in the future. Thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening in Pittsburgh, Christine.
And I think that was the first time we talked about that, or at least that aspect of the issue. We've talked about the pill many, many times, about contraception many, many, many times. But I think it's the first time we spoke with someone, and if, her name escapes me, but she was an epidemiologist, talking about two things. First of all, that there are unrecognized or unadmitted consequences. I'm talking about physiological, biological consequences to hormonal birth control, but also what she was speaking about there that the listener resonates with so much. Jeff, what was the name of the epidemiologist that we spoke with on that at that time?
Katie Talento?
Katie Talento, yes. Talento. Yes, Katie Talento. And the thing that she was emphasizing most strongly is if you go to the OBGYN, very often it's a cure-all. They'll simply say, here, we'll just put you on the pill and it solves all the problems. And it does indeed at least deal with the symptoms. But she's speaking as an epidemiologist saying, no, what it does is it masks symptoms of what may be a more serious problem or a problem that can be treatable without hormones. Now, where else would you go? Where else in the medical community do they do that? Well, you just walk in and they say, boom, this pill will take care of all your problems. And it's, again, they're not saying, you know, you don't want to have children right now, here, take the pill. This is for women who have any number of problems. They say the pill will solve that problem. It's not a good practice of medicine. In fact, I think the Dr. Talento said at one point in our conversation, in any other circumstances, it would border on malpractice to act this way with any kind of drug. So strongly recommend, if you're interested in that, go back and listen to it on demand. Issuesetc.org. Just scroll down. I'll have the date for you here in a second as soon as Jeff finds it for me. And look for Katie Talento on, I think we called it the medical double standard with regard to hormonal contraception, something along those lines. You'll find it.
I was actually typing you a message. I was typing in the search engine, but it was from January 5th.
January 5th. January 5th. Okay, good. Go back to January 5th and you'll find it right there. Issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand.
Email from Dave, and he says, thanks for streaming Kramer Chapel, Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live in the mornings. It fits perfectly into my Las Vegas work commute.
Oh, happy to do it. Yeah, we've been for the last couple weeks. Since Reformation Day. And the last, I was thinking last couple weeks of the year, it was more than that. Since Reformation Day, we've been streaming live Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 9 o'clock Central every morning. And we're happy to be able to do this. It's a marvelous opportunity for people to have just a – you're driving to work. You're listening at issuesetc.org. There it is. It comes on live. You listen to it. You get solid preaching, solid liturgy. You get to at least as far as you can while you're driving down the road or wherever you are, you get a chance to at least listen in on the worship of that great community at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Weekdays, 9 Central at issuesetc.org. Just go there, click the player at 9 o'clock on any weekday, and you're going to hear Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. In fact, I hear that John Pless, who's a regular guest on this program, was it today?
Yes.
Preached a whiz-bang of a sermon.
Very good, on justification by faith alone. And Dr. Dean Wenthe, the past president of Concordia Theological Seminary, will be preaching the homily on Friday morning's Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. And as well, if you go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, you can download the bulletin so you can follow along with Lutheran Service Book. They've got the passages there and all the elements, the liturgical elements are listed there, the hymn of the day. And you can worship along with them at during Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel.
Many of our guests are graduates in one form or another from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And almost to a person, when they leave that institution, they say the thing that they miss the more, not they miss the professors, they miss the camaraderie, they miss all that stuff. What they miss the most is that morning chapel there at Kramer Chapel, and just an opportunity to give them and all of our listeners an opportunity to partake in that. Issuesetc.org, and that's any weekday at 9 o'clock Central. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute. Pope Francis is supposed to issue an encyclical, that is an official statement, a papal statement on the environment. We don't know when, but it will be sometime this next year. People are all geared up for it, and Jennifer says she knows what he won't say in that encyclical. We'll find out what it is after this. I'm going home. My baby just
wrote me a letter. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.